the place now. Whenever they crossed over the Red Sea, I can't think. The Red Sea, the Jordan, no, not Jordan, the Red Sea. Whenever they got across, they got on the other side and they started dancing and singing. They started dancing and singing. And when we get to heaven, we're going to cross that old sea called death. And when we get on the other side, we're going to dance and sing. Amen. Boy, some of y'all look like y'all need that right now. You look like you might already be dead. Amen. Amen. Look like we just need to cover you up. Ephesians chapter 6. I hope you got it today. And this week, well, I'll tell a story in a minute, but the Lord has really stirred me up this week. Ephesians chapter 6. And y'all don't know it, but the pastor, he gets discouraged sometimes. And this past Wednesday night, I was really discouraged. We didn't have but a handful of people. And, you know, the devil will tell you all kinds of things. People don't love your church. They don't like your preaching or something, you know. And but then the Lord came in Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night. And, boy, he stirred my little pot. And I was sorry I felt that way. So today I'm going to preach a pastoral sermon, okay? Now, if you're not saved today, a lot of this is not going to have a whole lot to do with you. But I'll tell you what, you can use it. You can use it by saying, boy, if I was saved, I could use that. If I was saved, if I get right with God, I could use what he's preaching. And maybe today you could get saved. But most of you, I think, have made professions of faith. And I want to help you today. We're living in strange times. And so I want to help you. Ephesians chapter 6. Most of you already know it if you're a Bible student. Look at verse 10. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is speaking to the church there at Ephesus. And he's writing this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, the world looks at us and says, those poor little old Christians. Look at those poor little old Christians. They're so weak and they're so pitiful. No, sir. He said, you be strong. You be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on, and we don't hear this word much anymore, this phrase, but they used to call it militant fundamentalism. And that's what I am. Militant means that we'll storm the gates of hell and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. But he said, put it on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not those people that's mad at you. It's the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, help us today. I am so glad that Jesus lifted me. I am so glad that He saves me and keeps me. But God, sometimes we get tired, and sometimes we get weary. And sometimes we forget what we really have in Christ Jesus. And the old devil, he deceives us. And there's people today who Satan deceived and told them there wasn't no need to go to church. There wasn't any use. They couldn't succeed. And they're going to fail. And they're going to stay sick. And they're going to stay defeated. And God, they needed this. And the old devil got them out. But Lord, we're here. And you know what we need. So I pray you'd speak to us, Lord. I hope we come in like little Samuel did with the prophet that night when you called him. And then the prophet told him, said, next time he calls, just say this, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and he heard you, Lord. And I pray today, there's some people in here today that as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, they'll look up to heaven and they'll say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. So you can open our ears of understanding. And whatever's done, if anybody's encouraged or blessed, we'll say Jesus did it all. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Boy, what a wonderful chapter. Talking about our position in Christ. And I don't have time to talk about all of it. But I want you to notice three words that he had in those passages. In verse 12, he said wrestle. 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 That means to fight. To struggle with somebody or something. Wrestle. Wrestle. Some of y'all probably watch wrestling on television. Shame on you. Shame on you. Bunch of old naked men in their underwear wallering all over each other. That ain't wrestling. That ain't the picture I want you to see. I want you to see a soldier with the whole armor of God on wrestling with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And then look at verse 13. He said, withstand. Withstand. That means resist. Endure something. Withstand it. You know, people were worried about storms coming the other day. Well, my house has withstood many storms. Amen. My house withstood many storms. I ain't worried about it. Amen. This house has withstood storms. Not worried about it. And so get that picture in your mind. We're wrestling. We're fighting. We're struggling with. We're resisting. We're withstanding. We're enduring. And then that last in verse 13 and 14, he says, then when you've done all, just stand. Stand. That word I looked up means, and we think we know these words, but we really don't know how to explain it. That word means maintain an upright position. Marine, sometimes you stood when you couldn't do nothing else. You just stood. Just stand there. Take it. Endure it. Fight it. Struggle it. But when you can't, listen, he's saying we're to wrestle. We're to fight. We're as Christians. We're not known as fighters, but we ought to fight. We ought to fight against wickedness and spiritual wickedness and those things. We ought to fight against sin. That's why our country's in the mess it is now. Not enough people stood up for Jesus. Amen. We sang that song, stand up for Jesus. Not many people wrestling anymore. But then one day, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get tired. And then you're just going to have to withstand. You're going to have to resist. You just got to resist. You can't fight no more, but you can still push it away. You can resist it. But then you're going to keep on, and one day there's going to come a day where you can't wrestle and you can't resist. You can't endure anymore. So now you're just going to have to stand. You're just going to have a maintain an upright position that you are right with God, and whatever happens around you, I'll stand. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the rivers. And listen, I shall not be moved. Just stand there. When the world's going to hell all around you and everything's going wrong and you've wrestled and you've endured and you've withstood and you can't do nothing else, Sister Mary, sometimes you just got to stand there and by the grace of God, trust Him, and whatever happens, it's going to happen, but you're not going to be moved. You're going to stand in the faith once delivered to the saints. He's saying that we're to do that. And then listen, sometimes we just maintain an upright position. That's all we're doing. Did you know that in this room today, in this room right now, everybody in this room has burdens. Everybody in this room has heartaches. Everybody in this room today has a reason to get discouraged or get down or be hurt. Listen, everybody, nobody, would y'all listen to me? Nobody gets through this life without heartache and heartbreak and burdens and times when we have to wrestle and we've got to withstand, and then sometimes we get to the point where we can't do nothing. We just have to stand on the promises of God. Amen? Everybody. I could go through this room today and start right here and go all around. And some of you, I could name the battles you're going through right now. I could name the heartache you're going through right now. I could name the burden you're going through right now. We've all got them, Brother Rick. Every one of them. Some of us just, hey, we just carry them better than others. That's all. Some of us, we just hide them a little bit better. We paint them over a little bit better. 95% of the people in this room have a reason just to get on the altar right now and weep. Amen. Yeah. We do. Yes, we do. Yes. Most of us have a reason, yes, an honest, real reason just to weep. Amen? Come on, are you with me? Let's be honest today. This pastoral sermon, I want to help you, okay? Most everybody in this room, we've got reasons to weep. Now God tells us what to do. He says, fight it. wrestle it, resist it, endure it, withstand, maintain an upright position, and then, when all else fails, just stand there and trust me. God knows when burdens come. He knows when heartaches come. God knows when trials come. And listen, stand means don't move. Don't move. Don't change. Don't change. So I got thinking about that. We've wrestled, and some of you have. We've withstood, and some of you have. And now some of you are just standing. And some of you, maybe you hadn't gotten that point yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And so I want to help you today. In the very end, the thing he says do, maintain an upright position. When all else has happened, you've had to wrestle, you've had to fight, you've had to endure. Now, here's what God says I want you to do. I want you to stand there and do not change. Just stand there. Just stand there. So I thought about that. Here's some reasons and some things will not change whenever we're fighting principalities and powers and wickedness and all those things in high places. That means, look, around us right now there's a war going on. Clinton, there's a war going on around you, and you don't even know it. You ain't old enough to know it yet. If you're over about 15 years old, you've had burdens. You've had heartaches. There's people in this room that haven't before that lived in families and stuff, broken homes and things like that. And you know what I'm talking about. Some don't know, but here's what it means. Listen, right now there's a battle going on, and in spiritual places, we can't see it. We can't see it. It's spiritual things. And right now, the devil and his crowd's fighting over somebody's soul. Right now, the devil and his crowd, they're fighting over destroying some Christian or getting some Christian out of the will of God or breaking their spirit or something like that. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when you get to that point, and everybody has, you know what you got to do? You got to stand. Maintain. Marine, in upright position. You stay there. Don't you move. If the sun goes down, you stay. If the rain comes, you stay. If the storm roars, you stay. Hey, if the cold comes, you stay. When the sun comes up, let it be found that you're still standing. Amen? And joy comes in the morning. Amen? Here's some things will not change. And I know some of you is heartbroken and you're going through things. It's my job as a pastor to try to help you get through this, because a lot of times these things will destroy people.
Come on now. Yeah.
These things will destroy people. Yeah. Paul said he was down, but he wasn't out. The devil knocked him down, but he got back up and stood. Amen? Right. And listen, I don't want these things to destroy you. I've been there. I've been to sleepless nights. I've been out in the woods crying, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Jacob? When I need him right now, where are you, God? And not hear nothing. And just stand. And not change. Number one, look at verse 16. Verse 16. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know what he's saying? You take that shield of faith. That faith is what you believe. Faith is what you believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith is what you believe. And he said, you take that shield. And you use that shield against the devil and everything he's throwing at you. And that faith, don't you take up another shield. You got the right shield. You just hold on to the faith you got. Stand there with the faith you got. You don't need a new Christianity. You don't need to modernize it. You don't need to change it. It's worked for over 2,000 years. So stand there with the same shield that everybody else held, and you can stand, see. We don't need to change what Christianity. Some people say, well, Christianity has changed. No, it has not. They've changed. They've taken up another shield. It ain't the same shield we've always took up. Amen? Christianity doesn't change. The fundamentals of the Word of God doesn't change. What God taught doesn't change. He said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people come along and say, well, you're just too old-fashioned. And you're behind the times. And you're an antique. You're a dinosaur. No, sir. The faith does not change. Don't change what you believe about the Bible. Don't change what you believe about the Bible. People's changing on that every day. This little anemic Christianity we have today, it's anemic. The devil's defeating people left and right because they're leaving the Word of God. Let me tell you something. This Bible, this Word, and Jesus said it, is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. The living Word of God, which was Jesus Christ, said that the written Word of God changes not. It's going to be the same. Hey, did you know that same book I hold in my hand right there? 2,000 years ago, they believed the same thing. And that book I've got in my hand right now, in 1854, pick out a number, they believe the same thing I believe right now. That book right there. Don't you change on the Word of God. The Word of God's inspired by God Himself. The Holy Ghost Himself moved holy men of old to speak, and they wrote it down. It hadn't changed. Don't go cutting it up. Don't throw it away. And by the way, some of y'all, because you don't study it, and I understand that, because you don't always understand everything about it, I understand that, but you've been led to believe that smarter people have come along and reinterpreted the Bible and rewritten the Bible, and it's better than it was. Well, if that's true, how come the old King James people stand when the NIV people fall so much? Amen. Don't you do it. Don't you trade in a Cadillac for a Chevette. Amen. Some of y'all don't even know what a Chevette is. Don't you change a Jeep Rover for some little old Geo. Amen. Amen. Little old tiny. We ain't going to talk about them Volkswagens. Most of them's going to the junkyard anyway. But hey, don't change. Don't trade it in. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Don't you change on that. Whenever, hey, you've wrestled, you've withstood, and now it's time to stand, and you got to have something to stand on. I'd take the book that's been around for over 400 years. Amen? Amen. Yours was put out yesterday. Mine was put out 400 years ago. People have been getting saved from that book for over 400 years, this English Bible. Before that, before it was written. Now, listen, don't change what you believe about the Bible. Don't. Many have come and gone. I stand. There's a lot of troubles come and gone. I stand. Listen, I was saved in 1978. I took a stand that day on Jesus Christ, and I'm not changed. Now, I've grown. I've changed in growth. But listen, the same Savior I trusted that day is the same Savior I trust today. The same one that showed Himself to me that day, and the same one that come into my heart and my life that day, is the same one of 2017. He has not changed. The Word of God has not changed. I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen people in the church that I got saved in come and go. I remember a deacon laughed at me one time because I said I believed the King James Bible was the English translation and the only one. And he laughed at me because he knew a little Greek and he could quote some Greek and all that stuff. And he commenced to straighten me out. And I got mad and left. I was so upset because I'd never had a Bible. That's the first Bible I'd ever had. And I was shaking and when I left that place. Let me tell you something. He ain't around no more. He ain't around no more. You know, hey, don't you change on the Bible. Hey, if it was good enough to save you then, it's good enough to save anybody else. Amen? You stand, okay? Now you wrestle. You withstand. Then you stand on the Word of God. Here's something else. Don't change. Hey, don't change. Don't change. You stand on the fundamentals of faith. Here they are. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the virgin born, lived a sinless life, died in the sinner's place, rose the third day, sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and is coming again in all His glory. That's the fundamentals of our faith. You can't change any of that. If you change any of that, it's not Christianity anymore. Well, I heard this lady preacher on television. Don't listen to her. Well, I heard this evangelist one time. He said, don't listen to him. That's the fiery darts of the devil that's being shot at you. Hold your shield up of faith and say, I shall not be moved. The same faith that saved me, keeps me, blesses me, has not changed, and I'm not changing either. Let the storms come. Let the waves come. Let the heartache come. I will not change on these things. Amen? And see, that's the whole purpose of it anyway. The trials, the fight, all these things is about getting you to change. Don't change. Listen to this. Don't change about your convictions. Now, listen to this. There's two things in a Christian life. We have preferences and we have convictions. A preference is something if you would prefer it this way or that way. But you wouldn't fight over it. You wouldn't die over it. I mean, you might prefer red pews. And he might prefer blue ones. You might prefer a traditional church building. You might prefer one that looks like a barn. It's not anything to die over, but it's your preference. It's something you'd rather have it that way. But a conviction is something that says, no, sir, I believe this, and if you kill me, pull my fingernails out and torture me, I will still believe this. I will not change. Y'all with me? Do you have any? See, the problem is most people nowadays don't have any. That's why whatever goes, because you say, well, I can't judge. Yes, you can. If you've got some convictions, you can say, I believe this enough that I would die for it, and I believe they're wrong and I'm right, or I wouldn't believe that way. Stand there. Get some convictions. Listen, I believe they're the same as they were in 1978 when I got saved. I still believe that troubles come, heartaches come, disappointments come. I've wrestled, I've withstood, I've stand, and look, we need to keep on standing. I still believe in that. I still believe if it's wrong in 1978 when I got saved, it is wrong in 2017 today. Yes, amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. I believe it. Hey, sin is sin. It doesn't matter what. I heard an ignorant preacher say one time, what sin to you may not be sin to me. I said, that ain't what the Bible says. Yeah. Sin is sin. The transgression of God's law, that's sin. And if it's a transgression of God's law in 1978, it's still a transgression of God's law in 2017. God changes not. Are you still with me? I believe. Listen, I believe the same convictions that I got when I got saved. I believe what's wrong then is what's wrong now. I believe saved people go to heaven and lost people go to hell. Amen. That hasn't changed. I don't care what anybody says. That hasn't changed. I still believe that drunkenness is wrong. I still believe fornication is wrong. I still believe adultery is wrong. I still believe, and get ready, homosexuality is wrong. Those marches yesterday wasn't about women's rights. Women are equal in this country. They were about the homosexual agenda. They were about homosexual marriage. Amen? Boy, if you watched any of that, you saw a perverted crowd in there, buddy. There were some perverted people in there, men and women. Hey, it's not about what's right and wrong. It's about what do they want. And they don't care what God says. And they don't care what you say. That's their conviction and they'll die for it. Boy, I wish we could find some Christians with some convictions that strong. I still believe. I hadn't changed. I still believe in separation from worldliness. You know what worldliness is? Worldliness is anything that lost world likes. And the way they operate. And the way they look, and the way they dress, and their entertainment, and all those things. That's worldliness. And our churches are full of it. I know sometimes y'all want singing around here. You want to know why I don't call singers down here? Number one, I don't think you ought to have to pay people to come sing at your church when you got people at your church that can sing. They're professional entertainers. And most of them so worldly you wouldn't believe it. I'll never forget, I had a group come one time to my church, and they come up in one of those big buses, you know, parked it right in the front door. And they got out and they come in, and boy, they sang, and in between the singing, they'd kind of pick at each other and entertain us. That's all it was. And then after church that afternoon, I went out there on the bus with them, and while I was out there on the bus, this car pulled up, and this real rich, fancy-looking lady got out of that car, and she come up on that bus, and she called that. There's this young boy on there who thought he was Elvis. He did. After it was all over, he wore Elvis' T-shirt. And Nicole went and asked him for his autograph. And here's what he told her. He said, "Baby, you're too young for me." Yeah. And this woman got on that bus, and that's the man she asked for. And a week later, that guy called me and said, "You gonna let us come back?" I said, "Never. You'll never be back down here. You won't come back down here. That's a bunch of worldliness, man. We don't need all that stuff. Hey, the old way is good enough for me." And I believe worldliness is still wrong. I don't care where it's at. It's wrong. I still believe bad music's bad.
Amen.
I don't care if you put a Christian's name on it or not. Bad music is bad. And common sense, I don't have to start naming names of these heathen singers. Bad music is bad. You know it. There's no such thing as rap Christian music. No such thing. The two don't go together. Amen? There's no such thing as rock Christian music. The two words don't go together. And I'm going to make some of you mad. There's no such thing as country Christian music. The two words don't go together. That's like saying Christian beer.
Amen.
Christian liquor.
Yeah.
Christian fornication. There's no such thing. If it's wrong in 1978 or 1954 when I was born, it's wrong today. And you say you've been through the battle. Yes, I've wrestled over it. I've withstood over it. And then I just stand and y'all do whatever you want to. I'll stand right here. I can tell you this. We won't have it here. Not as long as I'm pastor. You can vote me out. Y'all got the authority to do that. You can vote me out. I ain't a dictator. But I can tell you this. This is my property right here. And it won't be behind this. All right, I can tell I made half of you mad. Let's go on. Listen, I still believe nudity's bad. Boy, we need to tell that to some church members. I still believe nudity bad. I believe a woman ought to dress conservatively. I believe a man ought to dress conservative. Now, every once in a while, some lost heathen will come in here with short breeches and flip-flops on, and I don't say nothing because they're lost and they don't know no better. But, hey, when Christians start showing up, like, what would y'all think if I showed up next Sunday in my flip-flops and my Bermuda shorts and my Flaherty shirt and my hair all spiked up and my tennis shoes? Y'all say, "That ain't no preacher." Amen. Well, I look at church members and say the same thing. That ain't no church member dressing like that around here. Don't get quiet now. I'm just getting started. Listen, hey, and I'll just put it, Brother Jeffrey, I'll put it in a South Carolina word. I said nudity. Nakedness. Nakedness. Spell it any way you want to. Nakedness is wrong. You girls put on some clothes. Go out to Walmart and I see teenagers come in there and I think to myself, that girl ain't got no mama. Because if that had been my daughter, my wife would have looked at her and said, "Where you think you going?" And she said, "I'm going to Walmart." She said, "You ain't going like that."
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Naked. N-E-K-K-I-D. Naked. Well, I tell you why they don't stop them, because mama comes in behind her and looks worse than she does. The average Baptist church is full of it.
Yes, it is. Come on.
Amen. Here's what I believe. And I tell people, women ask me, they say, "Do y'all have dress code at your church?" I say, "No, I'll tell you this, I'd like for you to dress modest." But I don't tell them this. If they'll come in here and look at most of the ladies around here, they'll see the dress code.
Amen.
And they'll be uncomfortable dressing any other way. Y'all help me, ladies. I don't mean that we got to put buns on our head and wear your sleeves down to here, you know, and no ring or nothing like that. But y'all know what I'm talking about, nakedness. No, I still believe it. And then, listen, I still believe, whether you believe it or not, I still believe in holy living.
Amen.
And I stand there. You say, "Preacher, are you perfect and holy all the time?" No, sir, but I try to practice it. I try to practice it. I try not to go places, do things that's not holy. Amen. I try not to talk unholy. I try not to dress unholy and those things like that. Are y'all still with me? Just stand there. Now, I've wrestled and I've endured. And now I'm just standing on these things. And let me tell you something. Brother Billy, you've been here a little while. Some of y'all have. I've seen them come and I've seen them go because they don't want to stand. Are y'all hot yet? Go turn the fan on. I am. Just turn the fan on. Listen, I'm going to get real. It's 1 minute, two minutes to 12. We ain't going to finish this on time, so don't count on it. We're not having a coffee shop ministry. You say, preach, some of y'all don't even know what that is. What's a coffee shop ministry? Well, that's where we open up the lobby and we put a something like a Fast Bucks or something in there, you know, so you can everybody can sit around and drink some coffee and everything. And this preacher told me, said, well, Pastor, if you'll do that, you'll draw the teenagers. I said, well, hold on, all you do is hype them up with caffeine. Oh, but you'll draw. You got to do what draws young people. I'll tell you what draws the young people. The same Holy Ghost of God that drew me when I was 21 years old draws the young people. Faith comes by hearing, hear my word of God. We're not going to start a nightclub ministry. I could take you to a so-called independent Baptist church right now, and they've got a building that they've painted the walls black, and they painted the ceiling black, and they put up some black lights and some black light posters. And when I was growing up, all that was a sign of LSD.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And they've done that. Why'd you do that, Pastor? Well, to draw the young people. That ain't what we're supposed to be drawing them to. Whatever happened to old-fashioned biblical Christianity where we come out from among them, be yourself. I'm standing on it. I've lost friends. I've lost church members. I'm just going to stand. Boy, it's going to get quiet now. We're not starting a biker ministry. We're not doing it. If we do, it's going to be a paddling bike because I got one of them, a swing. Rick, I know you got a motorcycle. I ain't against it. I'm all for you. But I'd be a fool to get on there with you because I ain't tempting God. I seen somebody else ride on the back of your motorcycle one day and I prayed for her. It was Abbott's church. She was going down the road. I'm sitting way up on the back of that bicycle, on that motorcycle, on that high seat. Had a Bible under her arm, her pocketbook under her other arm, her dress flowing. That's the closest thing we get into a biker ministry, buddy. Because with that kind of ministry, you have to change the music and change the way you dress and change the way you preach. It ain't being done. I'll just stand here. All y'all have any kind of ministry you want to. I'm just going to stand.
Amen. Come on,
I ain't against your motorcycle. I got a bicycle. You against my bicycle? Amen. He's got a bicycle too. He's well-rounded. Amen. Amen. But I'm not changing. I'm not. Look, that's not the crowd you want to draw. That same crowd will see you down at the Silver Dollar Saloon Friday night. They have no convictions. And by the way, that crowd, their preacher ain't going to help them a whole lot when they're in the hospital dying. Because he ain't got no convictions. The Holy Ghost ain't hearing those prayers. Amen. We better hurry up. I done run out of time. Listen, let me tell you something. Someone named Jesus Christ, he takes my burdens, he takes my life, and as complicated as life gets, God takes care of me. He feeds me, he keeps me, he frees me, he guides me, he delivers me, he comforts me, and one day, if you'll just stand, he'll take you to heaven. He said, we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness. You know what that is? That's our biblical standing. That breastplate of righteousness. That covers us. That's our Christian standing, our biblical standing. That's right teaching. Put on right teaching. Put on right preaching. That's not what attracted... Look, these worldly things not what attracted us in the first place. What attracted us to Christ was somebody was wearing a breastplate of righteousness. We'd never seen a righteous person before.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Yeah. Somebody was preaching or teaching some righteousness, and we'd never heard righteousness before. Don't change. And then, here's another one. Don't change what you do. Don't change what you do. The storms have come. The disappointments have come. The heartaches have come. You've wrestled. You couldn't wrestle no more. So you withstood, and you couldn't withstand no more, and now you're just standing, waiting on God to do something.
Amen.
So, preacher, what do I do while I wait? Do what you've always done. He says this, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. You know what that is? That's the Great Commission.
Amen.
That's the Great Commission. Did you know the greatest witness for Jesus Christ is someone who is going through trial and tribulation, heartbreak, and disappointment, and they keep on standing for God, and when they talk to people, they talk about how good God is, and they talk about how faithful God is, and they talk about how comforting God is. That's the greatest witness for the church. Don't quit that. A lot of people go through trial and tribulation. They wrestle. They withstand. They may even stand a little while, and then they sit down, and they quit going to church, and they quit reading their Bible, and of course, they quit being a witness. And then years later, they'll stand up again, because God won't let them stay down there. And they'll stand up again, and when they do, they'll try to witness to people. And the very people they witnessed to are the ones that saw them when they couldn't stand anymore. And they threw in the towel and said, it don't work. And now they're back trying to win them. And that person says, I remember when you used to say this to me. It didn't work then. Why do you think it's going to work now? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Look, don't do that. Don't change what you're doing. The Great Commission, going to all the world, witnessing, sharing, soul winning. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to confess this. 4 minutes after 12, I'm going to confess this. The Methodist is already getting in line at the buffet. Listen, I'd almost given up on it. I'd almost given up on the Great Commission. I'd almost given up on it. Wednesday night, we had about, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 people over here. Just one or two over here. Sunday nights, we done got down so low. And I thought the old devil come along and said, well, you know, you have a reputation for being a great soul winner, and you have a reputation for visiting people and all that stuff, and it don't work. If it worked, they'd be here. That's what he told me. Now, that ain't the first time he's told me that, but this week it affected me. I mean, I've been wrestling with that a long time. And I've been withstanding that. And I've been standing a long time. I've been standing in a church that we started with 60 people. And there ain't four of them left. And they've come and gone. And sometimes y'all don't believe it, but the pastor, he don't feel like witnessing anymore either.
Come on, that's right.
This past year has been a hard year on a lot of us. I'm about giving up. I quit announcing Thursday night and Saturday because nobody came. I just started going during the day by myself, and that don't work very well. But this past Thursday night, I wanted to go see a family, so I asked Jeffrey. I said, Jeffrey, will you go with me? And he said, I sure will. So we hunted down that family that you brought last week. That's a story there, buddy. We had to cross the Jordan. Boy, I went down there, and I don't think any church has ever really been visiting them people. I mean, who would? If I hadn't been with Jeffrey, he'd have given up too. But I'm going to tell you something that happened. I pulled up in the driveway Thursday night, and Jeffrey was over there. There was a man standing there talking to him, and I thought, somebody wanting something. So I walked over there, you know, in my pastorly manner. And he began to talk, and I don't know if he could tell on my face, but I just kept waiting for the punchline, give me some money. But then he said, Pastor, I want to go visiting with y'all. He said, I saw it on the internet where y'all do it on Thursday night and Saturday. And he said, I haven't been right with the Lord very long, a few months. He said, and I really want to do it. I want to win people. I want to learn how to win people. I want to learn how to talk to people. And he said, I've got a burden for people. Young man, single man. And he said, I saw it on the internet where y'all go, and so I was wondering if I could go with you. Now, you're looking at a man that got convicted.
Amen. Yeah.
I got convicted. Because here's what I thought to myself. If you'd have come last Thursday night, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Because I didn't give up. And he went with us. Jeffrey will tell you, he loved it. The boy loved it. Before he got out, he said, can I go with you Saturday? I said, amen. Now, I've been hitting and missing on Saturday. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to go knock on doors by yourself. I don't mean visit. I mean knock on strangers' doors. And he wanted to do it. He said, my church doesn't do this. He said, my pastor doesn't do this. He says, good church, they just don't do this. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the church because it's being recorded and I wouldn't want to hurt them or nothing, but it's the truth. And he said, I even went to the church leaders and asked them, could I go with them? And one of them said I'd go with him, but then when I went, he really didn't want to go, and we ended up seeing a teenager who needed to be baptized because he'd been made a profession of faith the week before. He said, I want to know how to lead people to the Lord.
Amen.
So I took him over to your neighbor's house. And then I took him to another one that I had seen. And then I said, all right, now we're going to Rock Hill Homes and we're going to knock on doors.
Amen.
And we went right over here and started knocking on doors. And I'd like to tell you somebody got saved, but they didn't, but they sure got to hear it. We found the old lady over there that's got, she's old, she's got Alzheimer's and her daughter lives with her. And we got to encourage them and pray with them. But I'm telling you, listen, we wrestle with this stuff. The trouble comes, the heartache comes, the disappointment comes, and we wrestle, we fight, and then when we can't fight no more, we withstand, and then when we can't withstand anymore, we're supposed to just stand on what we believe. And to do that, don't change. And don't change what you're doing. You still owe the witness. Doesn't mean you'll have the best life, but it'll mean you'll have the right life. Did you know I started immediately after I got saved, the best I knew how, I started trying to win people to the Lord. Immediately. And I've been trying to do it ever since, and I've tried every way there was to do it. And there's been hard times, but I'm going to tell you this, because of it, I believe God's blessed me.
Amen.
I believe He's blessed me. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got three wonderful daughters. I got some grandchildren going to grow up to be wonderful Christians. And I, hey, listen, I think the reason is sometimes I can't fight no more. And I can't push it away no more. But I sure can stand on it.
Amen.
I know it's late, but I'm not going to quit because some of you ain't going to stand good enough to be back tonight. God said disappointments are going to come. Heartaches are going to come. Trials are going to come. But you wrestle. And then you withstand. And then you just stand. You don't change what you believe. You don't change how you live. You don't change what you do. And then look, you don't change who you trust. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Listen, church, when I was the church I was saved in and called to preach in, it changed. That same church is not there anymore. I remember when they was talking about tearing it down. I wanted to go down there and sit on the pew that God, the Holy Ghost, convicted me on and called me from and saved me. It's gone. The church that I was licensed and ordained in, it changed, and I think probably this week will be its last week. It's gone. The first church I pastored, not there. The second church I pastored, not there. My mother church that sent us out to start this church, not there. Changed. I've been lied on. I've been falsely accused. I've been misunderstood. I went through the battle of my life. Listen. Death has attacked my family. Death has invaded our church family. Heartaches have come. I'm the last of eight children in my family. Last one. But you know what? I can't do anything about all that. But you know what I can do? I can stand. Look, somebody passed away. You can't bring them back. But you can stand where you left them. Your church disappeared, that church you were saved in, and that they that you thought they loved you, and something happened and you had to leave. You can't fix that, but you can stand. That husband that let you down, that wife that let you down, you can't go back and fix that, but you can stand right where you are. Those children that break your heart, those grandchildren that break your heart, you can't fix them. Only God can do that, but you can stand and trust Him. So what do you do, preacher? What do you do, preacher? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. What do you do, preacher? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. What do you do, preacher? Well, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. Father alone, listen, we can stand. There's some of you today, listen, there's some of y'all here today, you've changed.